This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, part of the Believe Network. And joining me to look at a fun couple of days for the Rockets and break down the draft is host of the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast and contributor to Rockets Chop Shop YouTube channel. It's Cooper Klein. And Coop, later in the show, we're going to get to that Rockets trade with the Nets. But let's start with Rockets GM Rafael Stone, who said they got their guy. And Shepard, he said, was by far the best prospect on their board. What do you think?
Well, this is a front office that, even though they've kind of been like their MO has been like, oh, they're obsessed with athleticism. You know, they're like, they only want these super like tall, lanky athletes. It's really been more about young production. Like, it's been about, are you a teenager who's producing at a really high level? Every single player that they've drafted. Even going back to Jalen was producing as a teenager against grown men in the G League. Şengün was a Turkish League MVP. You know, Usman Garuba played at a high level in Europe even. The only guy who doesn't really fit that is Josh Christopher. But, you know, that was the first year of the rebuild. You know, Jabari was one of the most productive freshmen in his class. They really wanted Paolo, who was arguably the most productive freshman. Like, they just want guys who are young, extremely productive, and project to be NBA players early and get better. And that's Reed to a T. That 70% true shooting, you know, the 40-inch vertical, I mean, the 52% from three. This is a guy who arguably had the best freshman shooting season of all time. We had the ability to draft him. You know, a team whose biggest weakness is perimeter shooting.
And I feel like reminding people that, hey, you guys were excited about Jabari's three-point shooting. He shot 42% from three at Auburn. Shepard shot 53, that's 11 points higher. It was historical. And Cooper, I heard a guy on the Athletic NBA pod say, but it's going to be different getting a shot off in the NBA. I mean, do people realize Jalen Brunson's pretty much the same size, if not as short as Shepard, and wingspan and the whole thing? Not saying he's Jalen Brunson, but, you know, he didn't have the range coming into the NBA. And Shepard wasn't just a great spot up shooter, right, Coop?
No. He's a great, on ball, off the dribble shooter, especially. Yes. Like, he can come off of a screen, and if you give him even like a half inch of room, he's pulling it. And it's money. He's still shooting a high percentage, you know, off the dribble. He can play off ball. He cuts. He moves without the ball. The one knock on his like shooting production is that he didn't have much motion shooting, you know, in his time in Kentucky, mostly because Rob and Antonio Reeves there took a lot of the sprinting off of a down screen, you know, type shots. But I do think that Reed can hit a jumper off a little bit of motion, like he showed at the college level. He didn't hit a high degree of them. He didn't hit a high number. But I buy it long term, and that could be something really helpful for unlocking the downhill games of Şengün, of Amen, even of Jalen and Tari. Just a perfect fit, and was like the second most productive player in this class behind national player of the year, Zach Edey. So I completely understand why the Rockets had him one on their board.
What do you think of Kevin Pelton? Because he looks at it more analytically. He was big on Şengün. He was big on Tari Eason. And he's really big on Reed Shepard. That was his number one guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of really smart people who I really respect had him one. I didn't personally, at least not on my general board, but I had him number one for the Rockets, just a perfect fit for this team, for this roster. And I completely see the argument for having him one. At the end of the day, the easiest way to tell whether someone's going to be a really good NBA player is if they're good at a young age. And Reed is currently 19. I think he'll be 20 as a, well, yeah, he's 19.99. So he'll be 20 here in a few days. He was hyper-productive in college. He's been hyper-productive at every level he's played at before this. And he's going to continue to be productive at the NBA. You know, smart guys like this just find a way.
Bingo, you said something right there. Smart, high IQ player. So that's something that I think the Rockets value. It might be fun to see the ball movement when you pair him with Şengün and Ahmed and their IQ.
Yeah, this is a guy, I think the most underrated aspect of his game is the playmaking. There's a real argument for the best passer in this class, and he just doesn't get talked about in that degree because he doesn't get super far downhill and then make a skip pass where he's like wrapping around the defense. You know, his passing isn't as flashy. There's not as much manipulation, but he's so good at just simple reads that completely put the defense on their back foot. He's really good at just finding the right pass to make in a situation. And he's really, really good, actually, at making jump passes. The Rockets might have two of the three best jump passers in the NBA with Amen and Reed. Maybe we'll add Halliburton and make the big three of jump passing, which is usually awful. But Reed finds a way to make it work because he's just so smart. He has really good timing, really good delivery. I think he makes passes both on ball and as like a guy who's like, oh, I'm just a shooter, and then I catch it, and then I make a quick connective pass to the corner. He can make every kind of pass that you want him to make as an on or off ball player, and I think that's something that we're really missing, especially when you account for just how much gravity he has as an off ball player. Like, you have to pay attention to him. If you give him an open jumper, there's like a 60% chance that falls. So teams will have to pay attention to him, and I'm really excited to see how that impacts the rest of this core.
Yeah, and just to make it clear, he turned 23 days ago. So he just is turning 20, still, you know, super young guy, but not exactly as young as like a Cam Whitmore was last year or whatever. But still, and I keep hearing Rockets podcast host, not going to mention any names, but I keep hearing them and fans saying, hey, there's no room to develop another first round pick on this roster. And that's one of my least favorite. I kind of feel like it's an ignorant narrative. And Cooper, number one, there are nine or 10 guys in NBA rotations, and there are always injuries too. So we have nine guys guaranteed right now in the rotation. If you add Reed Sheppard, that's 10. There are injuries, meaning Tari, Şengün, Amen, and Cam missed 134 games last season. Nearly all of those were from injuries. Van Vliet missed 10. He always misses games. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for him this season unless they add a major rotation piece. And even if they add somebody by next year, Van Vliet's probably gone. And what if Jalen doesn't show anything to the Rockets brass and they just let him walk? You can never have enough young, talented players, Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go to a completely different situation kind of as an example, but just look at what Minnesota has done over the last few years. They have drafted really well, in my opinion. I really like Leonard Miller. I like Trevor Keels. I really like Josh Minot. But they've drafted all these bigger forwards who have been productive in smaller stints and can play in the regular season. And, you know, are just like deep bench guys, but just kind of keep your team alive, you know, for the regular season minutes. You know, once the playoffs come, they're not playing any minutes. That's fine because they're just a good team. But you need to have guys who can keep you afloat in the unexpected times. That was really our biggest downfall this last season, was we just didn't have any deep bench guys who could just come in and do stuff when our guys were hurt. We didn't have a guy who could come in and be Tari, or like pretend to be Tari for 10 to 15 minutes a game. You know, we had to rely on Jayshon Tate, who is not Tari. I do think Reed will play his way into the rotation early because he is arguably the best or second best shooter on the team already. Obviously, you know, we haven't seen him in the NBA. Don't want to be like, wow, he's Curry already, you know, but behind Fred VanVleet, I think it's pretty clear that he is going to have the most gravity day one on this team, at least on the perimeter. And that was just such an obvious need for this team that, like, worst case scenario, he's getting 10 minutes a game. You know, you find a way to fit your off-ball shooters into the rotation, even if it's not like, well, he's a point guard, but we have two point guards. It's like, well, just off the bench, you don't need a ton of positional size. You know, how many backup point guards are there that are taller than 6'3"? There's not really that many in the league. It's a lot less complicated when you think about it in less of like this rigid positional structure of like, oh, well, Reed is going to have to take Aaron Holiday's exact minutes. And it's like, well, there's injuries all the time. He's going to take random minutes here and there just because he's a shooter. He might play some minutes where he's technically the two or the three in lineups just because we need shooting that bad in these lineups. And off the bench, Reed at the two or three isn't going to kill you. A guy like that who's so skilled, so talented, is just going to find minutes in the rotation. They found minutes for Cam. I'll bet they do it for a guy who's a bigger team need than even he was last year.
Let's face it, though. You can't count on a rookie to help you in the playoffs. I mean, Dallas Mavericks, I mean, they didn't have a rookie that helped them in the playoffs at all. Do you remember a guy, this center that they had? I don't know if you recall. He was pretty good, helped him get to the finals.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Third best player, maybe, I think, on the team, Cooper. And I'm not saying he's going to be that, but I mean, Sam Cassell, Rockets fans remember. The guy hit some big shots in that Knicks final. He was huge in 94, 30 years ago this month. I mean, if you forget. I'm also kind of curious, Coop, like, did you buy any of this Brian Windhorst talk of the Rockets drafting Klingon and then trading Shane Goon for KD? It made no sense to me. And Udoka, he might have liked Kevin Durant, but I don't think Udoka's an idiot, you know?
Yeah, trading your, I mean, he's 20, Shane Goon's 22 right now. He's, you know, a baby. Your 22-year-old budding superstar for 35-year-old coming off an Achilles injury, has not won a playoff series in, you know, 2-3 years, Kevin Durant, would be ridiculous. I also didn't, apparently, according to what has come out since the draft, Rockets didn't even really consider Klingon seriously with that pick. It was mostly just like a play to get other teams to try and trade up, which it seems like every single team was doing. You know, Atlanta was talking a big game about how much they loved Klingon. There's talk about him going, you know, even potentially to the Wizards, even though everybody just kind of assumed they'd take Sar. Turns out just nobody really wanted Klingon that badly, which is interesting with just how he's been talked about leading into the draft. He went 7. It's a really good fit. I think him and Scoot will be really interesting together. But it seemed like the Rockets really wanted to try and play all these teams against each other to overpay in a trade-up. And they couldn't get an overpay, so they stuck. They took their guy, got the number one guy on their board. So pretty happy.
I guess Brian Windhorst hasn't seen this video where Matt Ishbia tells everybody they've got the best roster. Why would they trade Kevin Durant if you got the roster that every GM in the league is jealous of? And you know, Shane Goon being in those rumors, I'm sure that got all the Rockets fans fired up. But what also should have them fired up? Have you seen Shane Goon's IG workout photos, Cooper? Does he look a little bit more cut?
Hey, is that a little bit more definition on his legs? No, he looks great. I'm excited for the season to come. Hopefully he'll be in even better shape. And they have a quality backup to actually take some of the load off of his shoulders. You know, hopefully with Reed and Amen more actualized, this will be an easier season for him where he can get easier buckets and not just have to carry the team's offensive production night in, night out. And I do think there's a real world where Reed's off-ball shooting and ability to play in the pick and roll with Shane Goon like turns him into an undeniable all-star. I think Reed has his gravity, the amount that you have to pay attention to him, the easy assists where he's sitting just right there on the wing and Shane Goon's down in the post. Nice little kick out. Oh, that's a 50% three-point shooter. Easy stat inflation. Shane Goon can get some easy buckets on the roll.
Do you like Shepherd on the pick and roll with Shane Goon, or would you rather him playing the offside and providing some space?
His value is that he can do both, right? I think I prefer him early more as an off-ball guy, just as a rookie, get him, you know, kind of comfortable, get him easier shots, get him into his flow more. But long-term, the potential is, oh, you involve Amen, Shane Goon, and Reed in these primary actions, and you have to guard three very different, very dangerous players who you can't switch. You can't switch your Reed defender onto Amen. You can't switch your Reed defender onto Shane Goon. You can't switch your Amen defender onto Shane Goon. You can't mess up your coverage there, or they're just going to get easy buckets. And they're all smart. They can all pass. They can all score. They can all handle a little bit. And they can all make the right reads out of place. I think long-term, that's kind of the bread and butter for the offense. But to start, I want to see like Fred or Jalen or whoever's doing the ball handling run more pick and rolls and then have Reed just spacing, moving off ball, making everybody else's life easier in a way that we didn't have somebody to do last season.
I want to ask our Houston Sports Talks fans, how do you guys feel about Shepherd? Do you like it? Let us know in the comments.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Before we get to the Rockets trade, let's hit on a couple more draft thoughts. And Cooper, the first semi-surprise Wednesday night was the Pistons drafting your guy, Ron Holland. The Pistons had a few critics because of Holland's shooting issues with a roster full of non-shooters, Assar, Duren, Ivy, et cetera. But remember that new GM Trajan Langdon brought over Pelicans shooting guru Fred Vinson. I hope I got that name right when he took the job. And Vinson was the coach who transformed Herb Jones and Lamar Ball's three-point shot. Koopy might be better than Chip England.
Yeah, there's a very real argument that Fred Vinson is the premier shooting coach in the NBA. And if you get him in, and you can help Cade continue to fix that three-point jumper, you get Azar looking like an okay spot-up guy, and you can kind of cultivate what Ron has going on with his touch, his off-the-dribble shooting. I do think that there's a world where this is like the steal of the draft at five. I really like Ron. I pushed hard. I probably would have had him second or third on my Rockets board. I really liked him. I came on here and talked about him. But I do worry that this is just more of the same for the Pistons, and that as good as Fred Vinson is, he's not a miracle worker. And you don't want to, I kind of talked about this with Frank when we talked to Reed Shepard. You don't really want to make like the shooting bet on so many, on every single player on your roster. You need somebody who can come in and just shoot and like be treated like a shooter from day one. And that was kind of the Pistons' problem, like all last season. They had a better roster than the Wizards, but the Wizards had like five or six guys who could randomly go off from three every night and win you games. Detroit went on a historical losing streak because they were the worst shooting team in the NBA and just didn't have, like almost nobody cared about their games. And Ronald like at least fixed the motor and the intensity stuff with that team. Like him, Azar, Duren, very tough core to put around Cade, very strong defensive core. But if they're not adding any more shooters this offseason, I do really worry for Ron's development. Even if they do have, you know, an elite shooting coach there, there's a lot more to, you know, shooting and scoring the ball than just like, oh, his three-point number is at 38 now instead of 27.
Did the Rockets catch a break that the Grizz couldn't get Klingon and had to settle for Edie?
So that is a tougher question. So I do think there's been a lot of talk of Klingon as like, wow, we really don't want him in our division. He's just going to, we're going to have to see him four times a year. And I personally don't think Klingon is that level of guy. He'll be a good starter in the league, and that's fine. But he has almost no offensive bag to like an even worse degree than Gobert. He can't handle, his touch around the rim is really bad. He has really bad timing on his screens. Just like every small thing on offense other than like just hub passing, he's really, really limited. The one thing where that I was really worried about was that Klingon would go to Memphis, and I think he's going to be the premier Şengün stopper for the next decade. This is a guy whose best skill is his post defense. He was the best post defender in college last season. It's his best skill. He's better at that than at drop defense in the pick and roll, just because he's so strong. He's so long. His hand-eye coordination is so good. I do think Klingon is going to be like the next coming of Bismack Biyombo in a way that will really annoy and torture Rockets fans for a long time to come. And it's still annoying he's in the West. But I think the Grizzlies came out of the draft, at least the first round, okay with Edie. I'm not as high as some are on him. I'm just outside my lottery just because he has so many outlier traits. The worry is that he's a weird fit with this Memphis roster who doesn't really have the spacing to give him any post touches, and that they're going to completely transform his game to turn him more into, you know, like a Steven Adams bruiser who's setting hard screens, which he's really good at. But then
he's going to set screens like this. You know, he's going to block out the sun for Ja Morant. I mean, Morant should be able to work off his screens pretty well, I would think.
Him and Bane, I think the screening is going to be the biggest impact day one. They will just be able to create so much separation, get downhill, get to open three-pointers. And that maybe alone was worth taking Edie that high, because just maximizing your best players and having a guy who can clear out the rebounds way better than a perimeter big like Jaren Jackson is also huge.
By the way, before we get off of Klingon too much, say a prayer for Klingon's future and his foot, because he's going to Portland. And if you don't know your NBA history, look up Sam Bowie, Bill Walton, Greg Oden. The Blazers are the boogeyman for bigs.
Yeah, I do kind of worry that offense there is just going to be like really congested and gross. Scoot had an awful rookie season. I bet he'll be better as a sophomore, but still can't really handle the ball comfortably against NBA defenses. Denny Avdija doesn't provide a ton of spacing, even though he knocks down his shots at an okay rate. Klingon has like almost negative offensive talent, in my opinion. They have a really interesting athletic and defensive core, but that offense is going to be almost unwatchable. I mean, Chris Murray is your best shooter, especially now that they traded Brogdon. It's just really tough. Ayton cannot be asked to do anything on offense. Just a really weird roster. And unless they're just going to feed the ball and give Jeremy Grant 40 usage, I'm really concerned about what's going on there, especially for their young players' development.
I would think obvious. You know, I just look at him as like, man, that's a great, you know, Portland's not trying to win. That's a great trade piece. That contract is great. I feel like the Wizards selling on him now, as opposed to maybe as the market opens up a little bit in the next few weeks and teams realize what they have and what they don't have with his contract. And I mean, it's about, you know, I'm not saying it's Alex Caruso value with contract and player, but it's in that kind of category, because man, his contract is really sweet.
Yeah, I do think that they really just wanted, like, I think they really wanted Bub Carrington, which is a decision. I'm not the biggest on Bub. I'm really excited for him because I think this is a guy who has no off-ball game and really struggles to get to the rim. But if any team is just going to be able to give Bub Carrington, like, a really high usage and just give him pick-and-roll reps and point guard reps over and over and over and see if any of that's real, it's going to be Washington. They have the most guard reps available in the entire league. You know, they drafted a big. Bilal, their, you know, best prospect, in my opinion, is an off-ball wing. Every single one of their players is a better off-ball player and a guy you don't want to put the ball in their hands too much. Poole, he got really bad when he was forced on ball. Kuzma is not a guy you want to feed a bunch of on-ball reps. I do think just having Bub in there to push everybody else off-ball could be interesting, but I just don't buy that kind of starter or star upside that they kind of see in him.
What team or teams had your favorite draft pick?
It might have been the Rockets. I really like Reed. Reed might be my favorite player in the draft. Other than us, I really liked the Kings pick. They got Devin Carter at 13, I think, and that is just incredible. I think he's a better player and just a better version of what they wanted in Davion Mitchell. He's bigger. He's more athletic. They're about the same level of shooter, which is okay. Carter's a better passer, way better defender. I think that they got their own, like they were trying to trade for Alex Caruso and they got their own version of him here at 13. And I think that he's got a real chance to end up being the steal of the draft. I had Carter at 5 on my board. I think he's a really, really special talent. And there's a few guys who could go here in the second round later today who I think could end up being the best pick. I have Filipowski at 9 on my board, and wherever he goes in the second, that's just a huge steal. Even like a guy like Jonathan Mogbo, who I have at 10, just these guys who are, in my opinion, so clearly first round picks who are going to go in the second round behind, you know, guys who I don't see the first round upside in. I think those could end up being the best picks in the draft.
Let's go back to the Rockets for a second and the trade with the Nets, and they give the Nets back control of that draft with those two picks next year and the year after. And they receive 2 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps from the Suns. So basically a trade that they get a first and a pick swap to Brooklyn for two first and two pick swaps. The Nets don't make the deal. Just a reminder to fans out there, they don't make this deal if they didn't have the Bridges deal with the Knicks lined up. So it's really a three-team trade. And Cooper, I love it because I don't think the star they're looking for is available this year. So kicking the can down the road and adding the capital is ideal. Plus, I'd much rather have this than giving the Nets back those picks just for Bridges. I just didn't like that idea.
Yeah, I do think that you will be able to get a better player with these Suns picks. I mean, there's an argument that the Suns 2027 pick is the best pick asset in the NBA right now, just because of how much uncertainty is there. If they flame out again early, I mean, you can't keep that roster around. The second apron is so killer for these teams, and they are paying so much money. And guess who's going to be their first call as soon as Kevin Durant demands out? As soon as Booker says he's tired of the BS going on, it's going to be us, because getting their own pick back is the most valuable thing they can do. I do think that they're gunning for like a Booker. I don't really see them getting a Kevin Durant. I don't know why they would do that. I think that a lot of they're star hunting, so they're gunning for 35-plus-year-olds is a little bit of a outside noise kind of being placed onto us. If we really wanted to make that trade, I feel like we would have made it by now.
I mean, look. My fear is, not to cross sports, but Kevin Durant, I mean, he's about to be 37, I think. It's like he could fall off the cliff similar to Jose Abreu. We just watched this with the Rockets. We witnessed what can happen once you get into your late 30s. And of course, you know, if you go to the Texans, I mean, Texans fans will remember Ed Reed and what a disaster that was. And I mean, you could see a little bit those coming, but KD's dropping off a little bit, and you can count on him missing, you know, a lot of games every year. You know, I bring up Donovan Mitchell to some fans because I'm a fan of his, and they're like, oh, look at the games that he missed. I'm like, look at the games that most of these stars miss that are 30 plus. And to me, Mitchell doesn't miss hardly much at all compared to a lot of the stars around the NBA these days. So I just, you know, a late 30s star, when you're trying to match it up with a young roster, it just, what's the purpose unless you can steal a Kevin Durant or something, unless you can really, you know, if it was just, you know, a couple of those Suns picks, I would go, yeah, but I'm not, you know, they'll want some of the young core, which I'm like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not paying fair market value for a 36-year-old. Like, that's just out of the question. I do think also getting just more picks down the road, instead of just betting on like, oh yeah, you know, the Suns could be bad next year, or the Nets could be bad next year and in 26, when I don't think that they would be awful, especially if they weren't going to trade McHale. Like you said, that this whole thing was kind of contingent on us giving them their picks back. But if they ran it back, they're probably, you know, slightly better than a Chicago. They're probably in about the same slot they were lottery-wise as this year. So that leaves us with a 33% chance of jumping into the top four again, and like a 5% chance of getting the top pick. So we're going to take the 5% chance at Cooper Flagg over some of the best assets in the NBA right now.
86% chance. Let me remind fans, an 86% chance you don't get Cooper Flagg if the Nets win one game next year. If the Nets go 0-82, there's still an 86% chance you're not getting Cooper Flagg. That's just the flattened lottery odds. It's a bad bet. It's a bad mortgage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We got lucky that the pick ended up jumping this year, and we got Reed, and we got a really good player in Tari, you know, a few years ago. That's all well and good. But the point of the picks isn't to bet on them becoming top four picks. The point of them is to turn them into something else. And we've kicked the can on the last two and turned them into a way. We kind of held the Nets hostage, and we got the way better assets in this deal. And it sucks that we lose the chance at Cooper Flagg in all likelihood. But I would rather have the better assets than the blind optimism and hope that we get Flagg.
Last thoughts on the draft in general. I mean, was it fun for you to this draft just because you didn't know it's almost like you didn't know who anybody was. I mean, it turns out some of the first four picks were kind of chalk, but you didn't really know from moment to moment what was going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in like the new 2-day format. I wish that they made the green room smaller, because like, I feel really bad for like Filipowski and these guys who were invited to the green room and didn't even get selected. I think that's kind of the big flaw of having the 2-day system, is you can't then invite 25 guys to show up because not all 25 are going to get taken first round. Just kind of a bad look for the league, in my opinion, but not the end of the world or anything. It was a lot of fun last night. every few picks I was going, what the hell is going on? And then the next pick would be, wow, like just blown away. You know, the Nuggets trading up to get Dayron Holmes, huge get for them, absolutely huge. The Suns then trading back and getting a guy like Ryan Dunn and some extra pick capital, that was a really nice move. Just a really fun first day of the draft. And I like the ability to kind of sit on it a little bit and think about what's going to go on in the second day, see and really think about, oh, who fell, who's going to do what to jump into which spot. So I'm excited for all the trades and all the action tonight, even though it's really just the nerd special tonight.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. I assume you're about to drop a new Upside Swings with the full breakdown of the draft too. Tell people about that.
Yeah, so it'll be later this, or like beginning of next week, I think we're going to do a full draft grades, breakdowns, all that kind of stuff. Just talking about our favorite fits, least favorite fits, who came out of this looking the best. We will not be talking positively about, you know, some of our, it's nice to see the Spurs fail, you know, after they've had so much continued success and lucked into Wemby last year. So that's the most I'll spoil about it.
The Dillingham trade you weren't maybe a fan of.
No. And I like Dilly going to Minnesota just for his sake, because he gets a chance to compete and learn from like one of like Mike Conley, one of the most underrated point guards of all time, a truly incredible point guard. And I think that they are both really skilled and guys who have to play around their size. And I think that getting the chance to learn there while still playing off ball is going to be awesome for him. I also just am not a fan of Stephon Castle at four. I think him and Wemby defensively will be really fun. But unless you long-term plan on moving Castle to the wing, that pick is going to end up looking pretty poor here in a few years.
Good stuff, man. I also want to just remind our viewers and our listeners, our regulars, we'll have a new show next week with my regular co-host, Steven. Our Tuesday show this week, I was out of town with some medical stuff. So we're going to be back doing that next week and talk some Astros. And Astros have been a lot more fun recently, so that should be fun to do that. And can't wait to get some more Texans conversation. We might find some stuff to talk about next week as well. So keep an eye out for that. But always good, Cooper. And man, it's fun to talk Rockets when you feel like they did the right thing.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than talking Rockets when we're losing games. So this was great. Second year in a row talking draft, and second year in a row, I feel like we came out pretty much on top of this draft. So lots of fun.
Awesome.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.